Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Third Innings. I'm your host, Varun Oluk, and I'm joined by Shan. Shan, what the fuck was that? I'm not going to like try to do any order and structure to this.
Yet another close loss for India in a run chase in test matches. How many times have we seen this script before? Like, just going back to all of those games, that those close run chases that India had lost in the 2018 season, then back in the recent season, of course, the Wankhede and the MCG chase that we kept talking about all the time. And this is just another addition to this list if you're an Indian fan, no doubts about it. But I think there's a lot of positives to take away for India as well, especially given how the fight that the lower order showed in particular and how well Jadeja played in this innings. And I know some people have been a bit critical about what like Jadeja's approach was batting with the tail, but today I felt it was perfectly justified and he played a brilliant innings in my opinion. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah, I thought his innings was largely good. I understand people's frustration, but the way I talk about Jadeja's innings is I think the ball was soft. I think Jared was talking about this on TalkSport as well. It's just there was a few shots where I think if the ball was just harder, you would have hit it for four. And then Jadeja's just not a powerful player, right? He's not like a Stokes or something. He's not going to hit a lot of sixes. It just isn't his style, right? I think people were expecting him to do things that he just can't. Like, he's the kind of person who's like, he has a very limited game and he just does everything in that range. Right. And even then, I just thought he was brilliant today. Like, we usually accuse Jadeja of just not being smart with the tail, where he'll just like take the single of the first ball and expose them. I thought he was much smarter today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubts about that. Definitely a brilliant effort from him today. And like, if you watch this wagon wheel of his innings, like most of his runs were coming like behind the square, and like he was not scoring much in the V, but he was scoring through the covers and the mid-wicket region as well. I actually think he would have scored like 5 or 6 runs only in that V region. And we know that that's not really a region that he usually also targets in Test match cricket, at least. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah. I think what would we say his zones are in for batting, right? I don't think he's a hit the V batter, right? So I think the UF's point, Jadeja could have done better to get a few twos. He can't manipulate the ball like Corey. So I think the issue is the side boundaries are very short at Lords. So getting twos anyway is very difficult unless you just tap it. So the straight boundaries are when you get the twos, but they weren't bowling full very often for him to just dab and run to. The one like two we saw was from Siraj because they just bowled a lot fuller to him at times.
Yeah. Agreed. I think Dweplio on Twitter also brought this exact point up that, you know, it's not really as easy to take doubles on this ground because of the reasons that you mentioned. And so Shreetan says Varun's distrust of India and Sena is reinforced.
It's not just Sena. I don't trust India in a run chase. It could be in Asia. It could be anywhere. Like, it's not distrust if it's statistically bagged, right?
Exactly. Like, what are the big chases that you can remember in the 21st century from India? One was the Gabba chase in 2021, and one was Adelaide in 2003.
Yes, I think that was a big one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 233 runs they made.
We might have to wait 18 years for the next one, bro.
Yeah, man. It's really been like a long... You just know, like, I think this time what the real problem was, how the top order played. Like, I was just watching the ball by ball because yesterday I was a bit caught up with the piece that I'm currently working on. And so because of that, I later got a chance to catch up with the ball by ball innings of what Shubman Gill was doing. And like, bro, why was he panicking so much? Why was he trying to play every ball? I just could not understand that approach. Same thing for Jaiswal also. As you said, he looked a bit nervy early on. And then the shot that he played, that was completely not on in my opinion. So I think those two... Like, and of course, there has to be an element of how well England have won. And in particular, we will talk about Ben Stokes. He deserves like a proper segment of his for the effort that he has put in this test match and in the fourth innings in particular. So I just think like there were times when England actually really bowled very well, but also times when India just threw it away. Like, especially the two, especially I think Jaiswal, and then you could say Washington was a soft dismissal.
So I think with Gill, I didn't mind. I think he got out to a very good ball. It's just that even before that, he just looked so lost at times, right? I think where you just look at, he was doing things he would never do in this series. We talked about this. One of the things he has done brilliantly in this series is he's left the ball well. He knew what balls to target and what not to target. He just looks so confused when he bats it, right? And then I'm like, Washington's in the dismissal was just so shit. Like, it was so soft. I'm like, ah. Like, why, dude? Like, why? In hindsight, it's like, India needed like one more partnership from one of them. Like, they needed 150 run partnership in that, right? I think
I agree completely.
It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, they just lost far too many wickets in the first session for it to be like a realistic chance of a victory, even though like the lower order really dug in and they kept facing a lot of deliveries, and with Jadeja trying all his best, like, and as you said, like, because the fields were set in such a way and that Jadeja is not really a power hitter, it didn't really, like, people were saying he should have probably attacked more. I don't understand the way England were bowling, and again, as I mentioned, the field settings, I think he did a pretty good job, personally speaking. And yeah, KL Rahul also got a great ball, because I think, so these were the two batters who I felt in the chase were probably the best for India. There's no doubt about that, right?
Yeah, I think what we're saying, Pant got a good one as well. Like, what else is there? Yeah, I think everyone else, like, barring you, would say, I think Nair's dismissal was a bit weird. Like, so they were talking about this on the comms, I think, where they were like, for some reason, like, Kaas was incredibly hard to pick from the pavilion end. So I do think there was definitely a little bit of, like, every batter seemed to struggle, right? No, even today, I think a lot of batters just didn't pick Kaas for some reason from the pavilion. Mm-hmm. Ready? Like, it wasn't just a Nair issue, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with all the guys in the comments as well who are saying can't blame Jadeja. I'm completely on that camp. And even I was reading all the criticism online. I just could not get it today. Like, yeah, I would understand in general, but why today, just, man? Why today?
So Skadi is saying, harping on Jadeja is pretty stupid. You know, that second morning partnership between Carson Smith, the Rishabh Pant runner, and Karnaya being dumb yesterday, after what seemed like a smooth 4-1. We can also add the buys, I think, probably a bit of indiscipline from India and Dhruv Jurel's keeping. What else is there? I feel like there's been more, man. I'm forgetting something stupid here.
If you're talking about the entire match or just like the final innings?
The final innings, I think, was just, I think we've like kind of just done everything. I think it's just the test match. That's been, I think, the hallmark of this entire series, if we're being honest. I think it's just that India's refusal to just be ruthless when they're on top, I think, as probably meant the series is 2-1 England and not 2-1 India, right? I think, heck, you could even argue it could have been 3-0 India in another lifetime. So it's another timeline, sorry. Like, I think it's been a fantastic series just to watch.
yeah, completely.
It's so exhausting, though. Like, it's so knackering watching it if you're a viewer. And even today, I'm like, oh God. Like, part of me just hoped they ended this in the morning session so, like, we could get on with our day. But it just kept going on and on. And I loved every minute of it while hating every minute of it.
I completely understand. It was like, okay, I was telling everybody at my home that, okay, this match might just end anytime soon. Like, it might end in the next 5 minutes, or it might take another couple of hours. And that's what happened. The game kept extending. And, you know, because I was telling you this, right? Like, I wouldn't really mind if it goes on to be a close match and India lose, because purely from a perspective of watching a close game, that is always very exciting. And the way England played in this match, and even the way that the lower order fought, I think it made for a spectacle, as lots of people are saying. It was a really, you know, exciting, thrilling game to watch. Like, it was a slow burn of sorts, but fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. So to answer Hawkeye's question, when you mean ruthless, what are you talking about? What could have done differently? So there's two different points in the game where I think they could have been more ruthless. One is when they had England 7 down and they let Carson Smith get that big partnership. They probably could have, let's say, I think, wrapped them up sooner. The other one would be obviously the Pant Rahul run out, right? Like, they had such a good opportunity to get a solid lead. And that, I think, those are probably the two moments I think they could have been more ruthless. The third innings, I had no issues with. I thought the bowlers were great. I thought the intensity was brilliant.
Same.
Absolutely no problem. In fact, I actually think England probably, like, kind of just fucked up a bit in the third innings. They probably at one point were on track to get 250 easily, and then they kind of bottled it, right?
Yeah, the way Brooke got out in particular, like, when he was looking so good, playing all those shots. And yeah, there was that, you remember there was that three ball sequence where he hit 2 4s and then he hit a 6. I think 2 balls he scooped and then one, like, he just smacked it for a 6. So I think at that point they were also looking. And even when Stokes and Root were batting, but then England, like, India did really well to, like, clean up the tail and everything, I think. But even then, I would just say, how would you say, what could India have done, like, in terms of tactics for that Kaas and Smith partnership? Because we know that those two can bat. It's not a surprise. So that's the one point I think I would not fully agree with you. But maybe they could have taken a catch when Siraj created a chance. I think that was Jamie Smith, right? Who KL Rahul dropped?
Yes, I think so. It was KL Rahul, I think so, yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what they could have done differently. I think it's just, like, we talked about this. India just has these weird moments against the tail. They'll either, like, wrap it up really quickly, as they did in the third innings, or they'll just let, like, them have a big partnership, right?
That I can understand. Yeah.
So I think the very important thing for India, I think, after this would be just don't panic too much with selection, right? I think everyone's like, oh, you want Nair out, and people are like, maybe you get the some of the bowlers might be needing a rest, and, like, maybe one of the all-rounders goes. It's like, so I think the important thing, just don't panic. I think if you bag this team, just stick with it as long as you can, right? Like, you don't want to make a loss because you lost. Sorry, make a change because you lost, right?
I get that completely. And I think the Karun Nair question is one that lots of people are asking right now. And yeah, he has gotten six innings now on good batting surfaces. Maybe you could say yesterday was not like that as easy to bat, but then he's had his chances as well. And so if they bring in Sai Sudarshan in place of Karun Nair for number three, I don't think that's a bad decision personally. But I would also not mind if they just stick with him for the rest of the series and be like, okay, we've backed you till now. We'll give you the entire series. And if it doesn't end up well, then we can try out new players once they go back to the home season and everything. So I think that's understandable. And yeah, his performances have been a bit underwhelming. As we've said, the only job that he's done pretty well is delaying Gill's entry point, which has been a bit of a plus. But apart from that, yeah, I think a lot of criticism that has been directed at him has been fair, because these are the pitches that you want your batters to perform on, especially when you're getting along, when you're getting a proper chance to bat at a good position on good batting wickets against an attack which is not like the England attacks of the previous tours that we've seen. So yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. I do, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, definitely fair. I think Karun should be criticized, but I also think he's done his job like relatively well, I think, which is delay Gill. I think the only time he failed was yesterday, right? That's the one time, and it probably and the, that's and the one time they need. Yeah, I think that, yeah, when did he get a duck? Was that at three?
That first innings, Headingley.
No, that was at six.
Not at three. Not at three. Headingley first innings.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. So I think DOF brings up a interesting point. Sorry, one of NKR or Jeddu had to attack. Probably NKR because Jeddu has the best attacking. I was along the similar lines. Not necessarily attack, but I do think that partnership was just a bit too slow. I think it was 30 of 91. There was also a period, I think they made 8 runs in like 8 overs or something. And that included like 5 wides, I think, right? So I'm like, you can't be that slow, man. I think you have to, even with how well they were bowling, you had to find a way to go like at least 2.5, 3 and over, didn't you think?
But I think they were 7 down, right? I kind of get it at times that just happens. And like, I also see the point in what people are saying that maybe like one of them could have batted a bit faster. That's like, I think that's a fair point to bring up. But generally speaking, I personally felt England were bowling well in that period. So because of those reasons, I think that can happen. And because they weren't chasing, like they were not in a position where they had to get the runs quickly, right? Like they could have taken their time. And again, India lost another wicket right at the stroke of tea. If they didn't lose that wicket, then we would be like, okay, yeah, good, they played out the session. But now maybe in hindsight, we're like, okay, they did the bat too slow. So I think that is my slight issue with this argument personally.
No, to be fair, I think I was on that train even while that partnership was going on, because I'm like, hindsight,
but I don't remember. Like, you might have thought before.
Yeah, I might have been, and I honestly don't remember what I said. It's been a long day. So yeah, like, it's, I think the issue with that partnership, I'll tell you exactly what I told Behram yesterday, right? There's various points in this test match where India missed specialists. This is exactly that partnership. You had two all-rounders, right? We know with all-rounders, the gear shifts are very drastic. Unfortunately for India, both of them are in the same gear at the same time. It's just so, and that switch never occurred for them. I think if you had like, I don't know, like a Dhruv Jurel or Sai Sudarshan at six, what would have happened is they can bat differently. Batters just bat differently in these cases. That's when you get the natural strike rates going, right? It's like you needed one of those. And that's why I was always against, you couldn't play two of them in this, two of the three all-rounders, let alone all three of them, for this exact reason. It's like, you will find, there will be a situation where you need that extra batter. And this was exactly that situation. Even in this test match, there are a few points of this test match where I think India would have benefited if they had one more frontline bowler and one more frontline batter. So, but what happened right now is, unfortunately for India, or fortunately or unfortunately, all three all-rounders have done well, but they've done well in weird ways. So Nitish hasn't, I don't think he's batted brilliantly in this series, but I think he's bowled well, right? He's done enough for me to be like, okay, if he does that, I have no issue with him being the fifth bowler. Jadeja has batted brilliantly. I can't remember the last time I've seen him bat this well, but he's not bowled well at all. He's averaging over 100. I think he's still, at this point in time, I think his bowling average and batting average are both in the hundreds. When the hell does that happen for an all-rounder, right? The only person I think who's actually behaved like an all-rounder this series is Washington Sundar. Who's done enough with both of them to be like, okay, he could be, he's probably the only all-rounder, isn't he?
Yeah, Washington has what, 5 wickets now in the two matches that he's played. And you're right, Jadeja averages 110 with the ball. So that's not a pretty figure to look at.
Like, even if we be like, okay, Jeddu had bad luck at some, just like maybe that average drops to 70. It's not going to drop to 35, is it? So the issue right now is India should drop like two of those three, but they can't drop any of them because they kind of just cornered themselves into basically having to play all three of them because everyone's done well. Dropping any of them would be unfair. And which is why we I didn't want this conundrum in the first place, because it's like, if they had just this selection in this team. So I'm going to take a break. I need to calm down for a bit here. All right? Don't go anywhere.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Hello everyone, welcome to Good Areas. Good day, like, welcome to the third innings. I'm your host, Varun, and I'm joined by Cheyenne. This whole game has fucked up my brain, man. I swear to God. It's like, so I think we could just answer a few comments right now, right? So I think Ronak says, give me Sundar the false three, to which DOF immediately responded, Sundar at three is a great way to kill any momentum in your innings. You'll make 10 or 50. Both points are, I think, valid. I think it's like, I don't know if like exactly. My brain is scrambled with watching 15 days of test cricket, but I went from being like, if I see Washington Sundar at three, I'll stop supporting India too. Maybe that's not a bad idea.
Especially after seeing Vian Wilder almost break the world record with a 367 at a false three. Another false three in Cameron Green, now doing fairly well in the West Indies, sticking out in those like those tricky situations on slightly tougher wickets there. So maybe it is time for India to, you know, unleash Washington Sundar at number three and then also bring back Kuldeep Yadav. It will be hilarious to watch though, honestly.
That would be funny. Yeah, again, it's like, see, here's the thing though, right? Let's try to be objective for a second here. If you were still reconstructing the team, I know Jadeja's done well with the bat, but I think with bowling, considering bowling and batting form, like you'd probably want Sundar at seven, would you not? As the only all-rounder.
Right? Yeah, I can get that.
Like a batter like Dhruv Zurel or Sai Sudarshan at six.
But could they just not do Jadeja at six, Washington at seven, and then go with like...
That's what I'm trying to tell you, dude. It's like you'll end up with the same issue we have today. Jadeja, as good as he is, he's still very limited. We saw his exact situation today. India needed another batter. Because what Jadeja can't do is and what a lot of people want him to do is like have smooth gear shifts. He can't, let's say, if that's why when you look at it, he'll have games where it'll be 10 or 50, or there'll be games he'll be like 40 or 50, right? He's not very good at just like natural, like just being smooth with it. And you want your batter to be smooth with it. Like it doesn't work that way. And he's not technically strong enough to bat a three. That's the other issue. I don't think he would be a great false three. Like we know every time I've seen him come up the order in England, he has not been very good, right? I think he's a fine number six when the situation's good. Like, I think like we saw in the second innings. Yeah. If India's like 200 for four, he's fine as a number six. That's fine. But the issue is like, as we were seeing today, like he's just not very good at these situations, right? You need someone else. Hear me out, Doom, all right? That's what I'm saying. This is exactly the point I'm talking about it. It's object. Like, if you look at it from this point, like, if you judge Jadeja as the all-rounder at seven, he's not actually done a great job as an all-rounder. He's done a good job as a batter, but he still has to bowl well, especially because in the last, two test matches, he's been the frontline bowler. He's not even been, like, a fifth bowler, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can also see your point, but even I would be, I think, I don't really see a point in dropping Jadeja from here, personally speaking, and as I said, I think I definitely see the logic in having both Washington Sundar and Jadeja at 6 and 7 in case you don't want Nitish and you might get in Kuldeep Yadav for Nitish and go with a more attacking, you know, attacking bowling lineup. And in that case, you have like four genuine wicket takers and then you have two fifth bowling options in a way. So I think that is not a problem for me personally. If your fifth bowler can just be a holding defensive spinner in England and you have two options of which one already took four wickets in the last inning. So I think that is also one way to look at it. I would definitely play Kuldeep. And so I would say one of Washington or Nitish has to go out in such a case. And probably Nitish in that case, because, you know, Washington has showed that the matchup against Stokes tends to work. And even like towards like the second innings of the games, he can come into the play. And I get what you are also saying, that maybe India having both Washington and Jadeja is a bit redundant, but at this point you just cannot like drop Jadeja for simply because he's like one of the better batters in this team at this point. I get that it's with the softball and everything, you have to take, like, but you have to play him.
No, I'll actually contend that again. It's playing both of them at 6 and 7 is the same problem I've been saying, dude. It's like both of them are not frontline batters. You can only have one of them in the team. If you have both of them in the team, you'll end up in a corner like today. Where people like want things from them they just don't have, right? It's like Washington is like a bit like Jadeja in that sense.
Yeah, so then you have to bench, I think, Washington, unfortunately, in such a case. Even if you think he is the better bowler, I think you probably have to trust Jadeja as your fifth bowler. Probably have Nitish again at six, if you think, and then bring in Kuldeep Yadav. And why people are saying, everybody is saying that Kuldeep Yadav, you know, like, why would you play three spinners? But I think Kuldeep Yadav is, like, on flatter wickets, he can prove to be, like, this wicket-taking option for India, right? And we know that England have their issues against spin bowling, against good quality spin bowling. And left-arm wrist spin is something Bazball hasn't really faced a lot of in this whole era. So I think for those reasons, it's definitely an interesting option. Who are the other options? I mean, anyways, like, if they go in with four seamers, like, they can go with Shardul. We know the issues that happened with Shardul if he's not bowling well. That is, they won't even bowl him enough, first of all. They won't even trust him enough in the first place. And when he does bowl, he'll leak runs and then it'll be the same issues that we keep talking about. So that is one option. Then your other option is Arshdeep. Arshdeep, again, then how many people will take the new ball? Another option is Prasidh. Maybe you could go that way, but you know also, again with Prasidh, he can tend to leak a lot of runs. So looking at all of those options, I probably just feel Kuldeep is your best fourth bowler, like, from the squad options that you have. And again, now we have to talk about Bumrah not being there in the next match, most probably if they just rest him for the next match and play him for the final test. So I think in that case, it will again be a different sort of lineup that India will have.
To what so we're again, saying. I think with Bumrah being injured, I think, I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday Akash Deep was on off the field for a bit. So I don't know if he's injured as well.
Mm-hmm.
If he's injured and Siraj is tired, can Bumrah rest?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they play him the next match and hope that he gets him to 2-2. And then after that, like, just hope, okay, final match without Bumrah, let's go again. And hope that something like Gabba or Edgbaston happens.
Again, like, this is why I'm, like, I think team selection is so fucked right now, right? With all three of the all-rounders is, again, as I said, the only person who's done, like, an all-rounders role is Washington, where he's done enough at the bat and he's done enough at the ball. Nitish, again, like, if Nitish was batting as well as he was in Australia, and he's bowling as well as he is right now, I think he'd be a fine number seven. I have no issues with that version of him as the fifth bowler, right? But he can't. I don't think I trust him at all to be his batting at this point of time, right? And Jadeja.
I'm so sorry. Did you mean Nitish?
Yeah, I meant Nitish. Sorry. And Jadeja has been batting brilliantly, but he's not bowled well at all. So I don't know if I trust him as the fifth bowler at this point of time.
Mm-hmm. No, so, I get that as well. It's a
I
bit
think
of a
if you had to pick one all-rounder, by default, it has to be Washington. But I think if you pick Washington right now as the only seven and drop Jadeja and then KR, people in this comment section and everyone will want to stone me to death. Because I think it's like, because he's the only one who's made runs in this test match.
I also think I agree with, like, most of the people that, like, Jadeja cannot be dropped.
The problem is that people are saying he cannot be dropped from the all-rounders rule because he's batted brilliantly. But if you're an all-rounder, it has to be almost evens, right? You have to make runs and you have to take wickets. He's just not been good with the ball. That's his issue this series, right? If he was even averaging 40 with the ball, dude, I think I would have no issues with him, right? But he's not. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And I don't know if that might just be that, like, he has two really good test matches. Fair enough. If it does, great. With the ball, I think that's fine. I don't think it's very likely. I'll be honest.
Saying that you expect him to average 35-40 with the ball in England, I think that is that a realistic expectation from a spinner on these wickets?
Let's say it's not 35. Let's say 40, I think, is completely fair of him from what the standards we have of him, right? Like, sure, but you're still averaging less than Jadeja, right? Of all the trolling that's happening this series.
I get what you're saying. I think, now we have to
talk about... Yes, I know sports. I know I'm crazy. Like, I know I'm crazy. I know I'm going to sound like a lunatic in this scenario. But it's like, you have to know you have to understand the way my brain is working right now. Because my brain is not working from the function point of view of who's done well. It's from the points of, like, what is the role definition? And who's the best for that role? Right? It's like, because Jadeja, I know he's done well with the bat. I still don't think he's in India's five best batters. I'm sorry. I just think there's still an inherent limitation with his batting. I just think he's in great batting form. There's a big difference between the two, right?
Yeah, so, like, you don't even trust him as a number six?
No, of course I don't trust him as a number six. I think I trust him as a number six in Asia, not in England, even on these pitches, right? I think, he's a very good number six when the top five have done well.
No, I can see the point there. But I think personally speaking, I wouldn't mind Jadeja at six and then Washington at seven and then going with four, like, high quality bowlers there. I personally have no issues with that because I do trust Jadeja's batting at number six personally. So I think we can end this conversation right here, like, this particular topic. And we now have to talk about Ben Stokes and the spectacular effort that he has put.
Of course.
So Ben Stokes has never bowled more in the fourth innings of a test match in his entire test career. And this is all with all of his knee injuries and stuff. And, you know, like, he has to manage his workload. But even with all of that, he has perhaps been England's best bowler in this series. Has he not?
Yeah, he's easily been the best bowler, right? Again, we I think he's been the best bowler to the top seven, especially, right? I think before this innings, lots of the England bowlers were just farming tail wickets, so the averages didn't look horrendous. Correct. But I think Ben was
exactly
just like bowling to the top seven, getting the wickets. And how long was he bowling in this innings? It felt like he's bowling a 10 over spell every time I was like looking at the screen, right?
So here we go. First, yesterday evening, he bowled 4 overs, 4 balls. Today in the first session, he bowled 9 overs, 2 balls. And then again in the second session, he bowled a 10 over spell. That is just like mind-boggling stuff for me. I was like, I will convert into a Ben Stokes fanboy at this point, the way he was playing. No. All these jokes aside, I completely agree that he is like a very, very good player and like one of the best all-rounders that we have seen in this generation, at least. Perhaps the best fast bowling all-rounder that we have seen in this generation. Or would you have Jason Holder, probably?
Nah, I'd take Stokes, I think.
Just what about Holder? You'd take Stokes. Like, yeah, even I think I would take Stokes. Yeah, like they're slightly different, I think.
Yeah, they're different. Holder's more bowling.
Holder's also... Yeah. Correct.
Except for that brief period, he was making a lot of runs.
And of course,
I think at their peak, you would still take Holder just because he's a bowler, right? I think bowlers just win you more games. I think his bowling is just better than Stokes' bowling.
Yeah, but with Stokes, I think the conversation that always happens is, you know, that he can pull off special things. He took 4 wickets for 40 runs in the Edgbaston chase when India lost chasing a similar target. 4 for 40, got the big wickets there as well. He got KL Rahul and Virat Kohli in that match. And I think Shami as well. And here in this innings, again, he's put in a brilliant, brilliant effort with the ball. So, I mean, and now his series numbers read 11 wickets at 29.45. The only seamers who have a better average than him are Bumrah and Archer, who has only played one match, and Akash Deep. So he is like, Akash Deep again, he has had that one brilliant test match, but I think all the way through, you'd probably still take Ben Stokes for the consistency that he has shown. And that is quite something for England, that Ben Stokes is performing so well for them with the ball. And like, people are saying that Stokes is exactly the player that India want. I think I also agree with that. Would India not take Ben Stokes at number 7?
Yeah, he'd be
perfect for India, actually. Like, just imagine Jaddu at 6. Stokes at 7. That is just like, I would love that personally. And in this match, actually, he's done well with the bat as well. He's contributed 40-odd in the first innings, scored 33, like in a relatively, you know, lower scoring second innings for England. He did hold his own and score a few runs. And I know he still has his issues versus spin in particular. And Bumrah is not the easiest to face for him. We know how many times Bumrah like just gets him out bowled, and he's like, he has this tumped expression on his face that, okay, what has just happened now? But I think, completely agree with you that Ben Stokes is like a brilliant cricketer. And again, it is 14th July, so 6 years to that special day when Stokes and Archer pulled off special things. And again, 6 years later in this test match, 1-1 series on the line, you know, brilliant, brilliant stuff.
I think it's fantastic, isn't it? Like, his he was brilliant this test match. I thought his batting contribution was good as well. I don't think he has a great contribution.
It was good enough. Innings. Yeah.
Yeah. His partnership was very important in the second innings, no doubt about it. Right?
Yeah.
And his bowling, again, was just, he's easily England's best bowler this series without much competition, I think, from anyone.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's definitely been up there for England. And, you know, like, it's not even just about the wickets that he takes or in the moments that he takes those wickets. I think the fact that he kept going, kept creating, you know, those, like, sorts of chances. Not really, I wouldn't say, like, major chances, but, you know, just keeping, you know, bowling in such a way that you're still inducing false shots, like, on day 5, bowling those longer spells, bowling well to the tail as well as to, like, the top order batters. I think that delivery to KL Rahul, like, that nip backer, how do you do anything against that? Seriously. Like, how can you play those balls?
Yeah, I think people are slagging off KL because he can't handle pressure. What the hell is he supposed to do with that ball, right?
Come on. The guy did make 39 runs. We have to give him like some...
He does give an easy chance to Wilkes that he drops. So you could say that. If he got out then, I would have said, okay, he can't handle pressure. Like, if he got out then, I would agree with you.
Yeah. And so what did you think about Archer's bowling? I think Archer was also really cranking it up in this test match. I really enjoyed him, as I said, in the first day, I think itself, that was very excited to see Jofra Archer in this test match. It was for cricket fans. Like, that is just the ultimate spectacle. And the way he's gotten Jaiswal out in both the innings now. So I think that was one very big impact that you have with Jofra Archer early on, because I think the other bowlers didn't really cause as many issues for Jaiswal. I know he played a few false shots at times in the first couple of matches. Maybe that is why he got away, but relatively got away and then got those big scores. But Archer did seem to get the better of him in both the innings. And it wasn't just the wicket ball, was it?
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Yeah, I think it's for some reason, like, he got a good delivery the first innings, the second innings. But, like, I think as Sangha pointed out in the comments, he just looks so, like, mentally frazzled when he came out to bat, right? Even from ball one, he just looked off. And he pulled a ball to Archer that he usually would have cut hard, right? Hmm. He's not really a puller, is he, Jaiswal? He's usually a cutter of the ball.
Agreed. Yeah. Even I would say that is cut short. He plays and the cut a lot, but he could even play that upper cut.
His wicket of Rishabh Pant was so important, right? I think we
again,
know that.
Yeah, what a brilliant delivery he bowled there.
That was a brilliant not ball. Much. Again, you can't even. There's not much Rishabh could have done, I think, especially with his hand as well. Like I don't think he could hold the bat. Speaking of the selection, I think can Rishabh play the next Test match with that finger? I don't know what the hell they're going to do for the next Test match. It went from being like, okay, could India win this series 3-2? Are they going to lose 4-1 again?
It might very just quickly end up being, you know, that 4-1. Similar to what happened the last time, the 2018 tour, where all those close losses, but still, you know.
I think this is our version of the last year for England, right? Where they're like, oh, they competed very hard, but England just, like, do you know how England competed very hard, but India just held their nerve in close moments? That's what's happening here for England. They're just holding their nerve.
You know what? I actually have a bit of a hot take on that. I think that people often compare that 2018 Fatodi for India and then that 2024 Anthony DeMello for England. I don't agree with it as much because India did really thrash them in a couple of those games. I know in Rajkot they were in the game till Joe Root played that shot.
No, England beat India by an innings. They just fell. In 2018?
Yeah, India beat them by an innings in Dharamshala and by
England beat India by an innings as well in 2018. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they beat them once, right? But you look at the other losses. Yeah. Like, there were three close losses. Here, I think you could say there was, there was one close win.
I think even Rajkot, you could agree, the first, there was a first couple of days, I think you could say it was very close.
That's what
England
just
collapsed, right? Yeah.
Up to the first 2 days, I think I can agree with you. But India have probably been in the game for even longer than that. You could argue that till 40-odd for one, India were ahead in this match as well when Karan and KL were batting yesterday. So I think we have to give credit to England here for really, you know, holding their own in these crunch moments. And we know that Ben Stokes is famous for this. And I think sometimes it does tend to get a bit overblown. And, you know, people give a bit too much credit to things like, oh, he's a clutch player. Oh, he's like a big game player. But I have to agree with people that he is a special player. And in these moments, you know that Ben Stokes can really be that competitive, fierce player. And it's not just backed by these narratives, right? It's also about the skills. Like, why does he do well in all these chases when he's batting, right? You know, he can do well in all of these chases because he has those multiple gears to his games. He can either dead bat or he can just absolutely start smacking sixes everywhere. And same thing with the ball. You know that he always brings the stumps into play. And I think that is the most dangerous part about facing him in the fourth innings. And I believe his best record with the ball is actually in the fourth innings, where he averages 23. So I think, again, another spectacular performance from him.
Yeah, completely agree with you, I think. So again, it's like, do you remember we were talking about this before the live, where we were like, I can't tell if India has underperformed the series or overperformed. Because I think before the series, I think I was like, okay, if India win, I think I'll take one win from India in the series. But watching these chess matches unfold, I'm like, I'm very disappointed with them. Because I think they are the better team, right? I know they're 2-1 down, but I think they are the better team. I think they'll be the better batting and bowling side overall, right?
But
they
with probably, Archer in, do you still believe that?
I don't know what the hell's going to happen next. No, I think I'll still believe it. I'll still stand by it, I think, even with Archer. I think
with Archer, I'm a little less sure, personally.
I think if there's Archer and a fit Atkinson, maybe I'd be
Yeah, I think if
different.
Atkinson comes in, definitely he'll make them even stronger. And
so I think
India
probably should have won the first Test match if it wasn't for just being silly, right? With the drops, I don't care about the collapses in the first Test. Like, this one was a true collapse in the fourth innings, right? This actually included top order batters. I think the first Test collapses were a bit overrated because they had four useless tailenders in that. I'm like, hey, it doesn't matter. This was a proper collapse at one point, right?
Mm-hmm. And Shardul Thakur, you know, he's the standard deviation king. Like, he will either make a 50 and mostly just at the oval, or he will not make any runs at all in England. That's the trend that we have seen from him personally. Yeah.
Yeah, again, for the next test match, again, like, I don't need, like, do India finally drop Karan Nair, do you reckon? Do you think they pull the gun, they shoot?
They might just drop him, right? Because I feel like after three games, you can't really say that, and he has gotten a chance at, he has gotten two innings at six, four innings at three. So you can't even say that he hasn't been given a fair rope here. And I know test cricket at this level, it's ruthless. And I have to somewhat agree on eye test. Like, I can see why India made the decision in the first place, right? To not really back Karan Nair back then. I know the way that maybe you could criticize the communication and like maybe it wasn't ideal to just bring in Vihari directly. But I'm starting to see why it happened. And even at that point, lots of people were like, why would you drop Karan after a 300? First of all, he was not dropped after a 300. He did play that Border Gavaskar Trophy, if you remember, and he did not make runs in that series. And India actually didn't stick to their five bowler strategy and played Karan Nair in that series, like for some of the games. And, you know, I'm starting to see now when you see him bat against Jofra Archer, do you feel very confident about him? Like, I know he's got really good shots when he's flowing and batting well. His drives are like immaculate to watch. But you know that he has he also has that clear weakness, like outside off him, he can eventually nick off. If that ball, like, you know, just jumps off a bit, I know it's hard for most batters to play, but he doesn't really seem as confident against those sorts of deliveries to me personally. And that's what people say about international level test cricket that facing high pace is just something else. And with Jofra Archer performing the way he did in this match, I think I might also trust Sai Sudarshan a tad more at number three.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, like, I once said Karan at three initially. It took them one test to do it. But yeah, like, I don't think he's been horrible. I don't think he's been as bad as people are saying he is, but he's not been good, has he? Right? I think.
Yeah, he's so definitely not been good. Point.
So do you think there needs to be a specialist batter at three above punt? So Sheraton, when it comes to, like, T20 cricket, I'm like a tree-hugging liberal. When it comes to test cricket, I'm like a right-wing redneck conservative, right? I'm like, I need specialists. Like, I don't, like, the false threes piss me off so much. I can handle shithousery only to a certain extent, right? Like, I need that a specialist number three. If I see Washington Sundar, I think I'll be more annoyed than I already am with this selection panel, right? Like, for the love of, play specialist batters. It's not like India don't have them. They have them. Like, South Africa don't have anyone, right? So they have no choice. But, like, India have a choice, right?
And I believe with Mulder, I think...
in, like, a Sai Sudarshan, or, like, even Abhimanyu Iswaran, like, I don't care at this point. They just play specialists, right? You're not going to gain anything with this false three.
In the long term, I think I might also agree with you. Like, as a stopgap, maybe I'm not as against it as you are. But, like, I definitely see the point. And, like, but if Karan Nair is just dealing Gill's entry point, can you not argue that even Washington Sundar can do that? Is that not a fair question to ask?
I don't think he's going to do it at three, though.
I think I can see your point there.
Yeah, like, everyone's like, he's technically strong. I don't know. We haven't seen enough of him at three versus actual
new ball.
Swing.
We have not seen him play.
Yeah.
Doing it against a softer ball is a bit difficult. And, you know, people like first class, if you talk about, like, for instance, Viaan Mulder, I don't remember the exact stats and everything, but from what I did the numbers before the WTC final, I remember that his first class average when he was not playing test matches was actually, like, close to 40. So... I think it was 36. You who did those numbers. Yeah.
I think it was 36.
Was it 36?
No? I think I felt, for some reason, it feels like 36. I don't know where that numbers come from.
Yeah, but I mean, up to this, like, before this triple century that he made, what I remembered was that Viaan Mulder had made some runs in domestic cricket. So I think there was still some precedent towards, you know, bringing him at number three. Maybe that's not the case with someone like a Washington Sundar, or maybe even Nitish Reddy, or even Jadeja, because, you know, that might be just a bit too radical a decision, even for someone like me, I guess. But I mean, I wouldn't hate it as much as Varun would, but still. Kuldeep at false three, the real false three, bring it on.
See, that's so bad it's funny. I think that's reaching bad it's funny territory. I'll agree with you there. No, I agree with Ronak. Like, I was about to say this, like, Nair is so good at fielding, I think you might just play him as a specialist fielder, because I don't think anyone else in the Indian team can catch.
Yeah, no, I think he is, from whatever I can recall from three matches. At this point, I've watched so much cricket, I start forgetting things because I've seen so much. But yeah, he has taken some good catches at slips now that you mentioned. I think that's fair.
So I think Abhi's saying Nair wasn't picked because they wanted to delay Gill's entry point. They picked him expecting him to score and he failed. You replace him with someone who you think will score better. I think that's perfectly fair, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, completely agree.
Yeah, we're not saying, I'm not disagreeing with that, Abhi. I'm just saying that even if he has not made runs, he's, he's at least delayed Gil, which is, I think, like his secondary
somewhat
role.
Somewhat of a
right?
plus.
The primary, yeah, his primary role is making runs. The secondary role is just a bonus. Delay punt and Gil as long as you can. Right? You want punt to come in when the situation is good. You don't want punt to think. That's the way I'd put it.
Because he will just bat even faster if he's coming in early, right? That's what we looked at when we did the numbers for number fives. He will just come in and bat at like 80, 90 strike rate. In such a case. Yeah, no, I think it's fair. Right. If Abhimanyan, what do you think about Ishwaran at three? Because I haven't seen him play it. Like, he hasn't played a test match for India yet. I don't think I followed domestic cricket as closely to be, you know, to have seen what he can do, like, technically and all those things. Because with Sai Sudarshan, at least I was the president of the IPL. And we know what, like, generally how he can play. And I did actually, like, look at some of his domestic stats in a bit more depth because he's a younger batter. And he could be, like, a more long-term option for India in the future. So, but what are your thoughts on Ishwaran? Like, what do you have to say to that?
So, I think from Ishwaran, he's not made any runs outside of Asia for the A-team. That's what I remember looking at last. And that's... I think he can get away with it because these aren't, like, traditional English pitches.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going to play one, I think even I'm just thinking, you might as well play Sai Sudarshan. Like, or Dhruv Jurel. Can Dhruv Jurel please play? What is the guy supposed to do? I think they just think... It can't be worse than Carlo Nair at three at this point. Let's be fair here. I think it's...
I think it's setting up
for failure. Or like Sai Sudarshan 3, Dhruv Jurel at 6. I'm more than happy with that.
Yeah, so Karthik says, check his scores in the England A match. How many runs did he make?
Ishwaran. Was there an India game recently?
No. In the games before the series. I'm assuming he's talking about those.
No, I think there was an A game at some point. One sec. Just keep chatting. I'll check this in the meantime somewhere.
Yeah.
Where am I checking this?
Even I'm excited to see what you're talking about. Weirdly, I can't remember those games. I know Karun got a double 100. KL also got a 100, I think. So, Ishwaran makes 8, 68, 11,
where am I looking?
And 80. So, he got runs in the second innings in both the cases. But, you know, in the first innings, he couldn't really get a lot of runs. Abhi 11 says, send the captain back to 3. No, man, no. Please, no. I wouldn't really be a fan of that because I finally think Gil at 4 has really settled. And
does make runs in the second innings, you're right.
Exactly.
Why do I not remember this innings? Why do I not? Yeah, that's fine then. If he can do that, fair enough.
But even I think Sudarshan...
Yeah, I completely agree with Abhi, right? The overreaction is crazy. Like, the moment Gil got out, I already knew what the narrative was going to be. That always just a flat pitch, Billy. That's fine. I will say though, he did look very lost when he came out to bat. He was like, it felt like the ghost of Virat just took over him for a bit, where he was just chasing everything. I'm like, dude, at least get out in the way you usually do. Why are you getting out like Virat is, right? Like, what the hell is going on?
The second innings, I think, was terrible from him. Like, genuinely terrible batting. I think that is very fair to criticize. But the general narratives about him, like, I think till now, I think it's safe to say that, yes, he is a much, much better player on flat pitches. And whenever there is more help for the bowlers, he hasn't really performed. But he is still early in his career. He hasn't even reached his peak years. And you know, so many great batters, you don't have to be, you know, great on always a great batter is not always great on tough wickets. I think even when you look at the greatest batters of all time.
Example. Yeah, Bradman is a perfect example. Never made runs on wet wickets.
Yeah, exactly. So we can't really say that he's not the greatest of all time because of that, is he?
I think, as I was saying, like, no batter in the history of cricket averages 50 if you remove flat pitch runs. None. There isn't a single one who can average 50.
Not even right? Victor Trumper?
He isn't averaging 50 anyway.
I know he isn't averaging 50. I'm saying if you take out the flat pitches, like, because he had a great record on wet wickets, I don't remember
maybe
the averages,
like,
and everything.
Trumper's issue might be that he wasn't good at stat batting. But let's not go into that, all right? Like, that's it.
Ajinkya Rahane for India?
That's a different direction. Yeah, I think we were saying this, right? For Gil's, like, I think narrative and legacy, he needed to make like a 70 or 150 on a tough pitch. This was the perfect time. He had to, I think if he made it, I think he would have, like, if he had a good day, I think he would have, like, what would you call it? Like, made a lot of people quiet.
I agree. But it's just one match, dude. Like, I wouldn't really overreact. I think.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Simply because what we've seen from him in the first two test matches, I think he has just given me enough faith for the rest of the cycle now. I think we can safely say that Gil at 4, and even whatever he's done. I know he's not been, like, a great, great captain, but we know that, like, he can stand up, like, and he can really, you know, hold his own. And since some of the selections, I think, still have, you know, not been great, but we saw that in Australia as well when Gil was not the captain. So Is it Gambhir? Is it Gill? Like, how much autonomy does he really have yet? I think his captaincy will still be up for debate.
So I think the way I see it, I think if you're seeing the same selection nonsense with three different captains, I think it has to be the selection of the coach.
I can see that.
So I don't think Rohit's a perfect test captain, but even I don't think Rohit would have, like, Rohit wasn't this defensive with his selection.
Yeah, because when Rohit and Dravid were there, they did, like, most of the times they just went with the bowlers, right? They weren't really doing this, like, like playing multiple all-rounders. I think this is completely a Gambhir thing from what we have seen over the last, you know, now 13 test matches, 10 plus 3, yeah, 13 test matches, and it hasn't gotten India the results clearly. So, as you keep saying, India probably just need to trust their specialists a lot more and just pick better bowlers, not rely too much on all-rounders. And I know, yeah, with the extra depth, it always seems like, yeah, you know, there's that false sense. Like, it may be an actual sense of security maybe for some batters, you know. But I still think in test match cricket, you have to back your specialists.
Yeah, I think the issue is they didn't even go with batting depth. Like, we were talking about this in the second test, right? It gives you the illusion of batting depth because you sacrifice runs with picking NKR as the sixth, but at number six. And you also sacrifice bowling by picking Washington. Like, Washington, to be fair to him, has bowled incredibly well. Much better than I was expecting of him. Right? So it's like, they didn't actually do batting depth.
So Anurag says that we don't need a Stokes. We can simply go in with six specialist batters, Jadeja, three seamers, and Kuldeep. Yeah, I think I also agree with that. I don't have that.
I think we've run the strain from the starts.
Yeah. But I think now you were saying that with Washington Sundar could be that all-rounder instead of Jadeja, because you haven't been very, like, you know, confident with Jadeja as the fifth bowler. I think
no, I'm just saying, if you're picking the exactly for the roles, I think that's the way you would do it. I don't think the
But I would still say
the,
like it's just,
I don't think yeah I don't think you or the comments will agree with me on that. I think that's fine. I'm expecting like, a lot of comments to shit on me by this.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. So I think we've kind of rinsed this. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Thank you so much for coming, tuning in every day after for this exhausting test match and this exhausting final day. Make sure to subscribe to goodareas.co. It's the one stop for everything for good. Thank you so much for listening, guys. See you for the fourth test match. It might be Shayan and me, or me and Barama. We don't really know at this point. So thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Baron Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.